Now that's a picture of a journey and an adventure that I would like to go on, and I'd like you to go with me. I hope that would work out. Let me give a shout out to all of our friends in Minnetonka. Way to go, Skippers, last night, who won the state championship. First time in their history. Way to go. We celebrate with you. And hi to everybody in Woodside. You still matter too. And then also, although those online, we're glad we're together. And for those who are guests, really delighted that you're with us, especially if you're here for a first time. We're involved with, this is the fifth week of a 10-year vision that I've been casting to Westwood, and it's an important time. It's called Kaboom, Stars, Dust, and Sand, and it carries the idea of kaboom, referring to what missiologists have given that term for explosive seasons of churches when they're growing dynamically, and stars, dust, and sand are just the words of God the Father. He gave them to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and made a promise to them that their descendants would be more numerous than the stars, the sand, and the dust. What an incredible vision this God is. He's a visionary God, as you can tell. And the reality is they received that. They were blessed to be a blessing. In other words, they were able to know the very presence of God, the goodness of God, the healing presence of God in their nuclear families, their own personal lives, but also within their nation that would be born. And yet the descendants weren't more numerous than the stars and the dust and the sand until 2,000 years after God gave that vision when he sent Jesus into the world. It's Jesus who would help the families of the earth make their way back to God. The blessing was to be shared, not just kept. They were to be a blessing to the families of the earth. Jesus comes and brings that. So when we put our faith in Jesus, we become descendants of the promise that was given to Abraham. It's a very personal thing to me. I visualize it, that I'm standing before the presence of God, as did Abraham, and he says, Joel, I'm going to bless the socks off of you, and he has. And through you, all nations will be blessed. And he's bringing that vision about through our own community of faith together, and I'm thrilled about it. In summary, our 10-10-10 vision is what we're calling our 10-year vision. The first 10 representing 10 new churches or church plants or microsites that will get launched by the year 2028 by God's power and your faith and his provision for that vision to come to fruition. The second 10 is 10 times 10, that we would trust God by 2028 to provide the resources by his Spirit's power to plant 100 churches within the immigrant community of the Twin Cities. Because within 20 years, more than half of our demographic in the Twin Cities will be first and second generation immigrants. And yet 90% of them do not have the gospel of Christ. And we just feel the urgency to be part of that and partnering with others. The third 10 is 10 times 10 times 10 that we are partnering with the Timothy Initiative to plant 1,000 churches in the far reaches of the world where few people go, where God is doing a mighty and great work right now. It's very exciting to hear all of these. We've been unpacking them over the last several weeks. And every Kaboom movement has a DNA. There are several components to it. So missiologists have looked at the Kaboom movement from the first to the third century. They are looking at the present Kaboom movement that's happening in China today. And me visualizing, could there be a Kaboom movement even in the Twin Cities? That's what I'm praying will happen for us. But there are several components that are part of every Kaboom movement. Number one, at the center of it all, is Jesus is Lord. There's a non-compromising devotion to Jesus Christ, believing he's not just a good guy who taught well, but he is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. His deity creates Kaboom movements. And secondly, there's this DNA component of being able to proclaim the goodness of Jesus here, near, and far, that he is the Lord, so that people who've been far away from God can come back to God, as we have done personally in our own families and heritages as well. And then also we find that this reality of discipleship pathway is a key component, that how we grow in faith, that there's a path for us, taking one step in front of the other to become more like Christ. And it's Jesus who shows us how to live with God and what love looks like. You've heard me say this so many times. If we could only get the love thing right, there's no end to what God would want to do in and through us for his glory. I really believe that to be true. So over the last year, Brian Suter, our pastor of adult ministry, has been working with our team to reset a discipleship pathway that takes us into the 10-year vision. It's being rolled out before you today. So I'd like you to welcome Pastor Brian Suter, who's going to teach us those words today. Thanks, Brian.
Appreciate it. Well, good morning, everybody. It's nice to see you all. at the heart of our future, both your future and Westwood's future as a church, is us following Jesus, being disciples who make disciples. And yet it begs the question that I want to ask out loud. When you hear the word discipleship, what comes to mind? How do you define that? What does it look like? Chances are, across the expanse of everyone engaged today, we may have a unique definition from one another, a perspective, and probably maybe different experiences of what that may look like if we have a definition for it. And so as a result, an accessible, an actionable, and a unifying definition of discipleship can be difficult for us to wrestle down to the ground, let alone for a church like Westwood to create a vision for and a plan to invite you into. And yet, this is at the heart of the next 10 years of our church future and our mission. Dallas Willard has given what I consider to be one of the best definitions of discipleship when he wrote these words. As an apprentice of Jesus, a disciple is one who is learning from Jesus how to lead one's life as Jesus would lead their life if he were they. Well, that's some weight right there. I'm going to say that again, make it personal for myself, and I invite you to hear it for you. As an apprentice of Jesus, I am called to learn from Jesus how to lead my life as Jesus would lead my life if he were me. Not only is that a lot to chew on, but to pursue that vision is huge. What I take from that is that discipleship, following Jesus, involves every single part of my being. Every day, little bit by little bit, living like and becoming more like Jesus is the goal. And that goal, by the way, is entirely in the realm of possibility for you to achieve. As an ordinary human being, for all of us, that's possible. Paul writes about this in 2 Corinthians 3:18. He says, "And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." I want to unpack a couple things in there for us this morning. The verb that we get that phrase, being transformed, is in the original Greek language also being the root of the word metamorphosis. It's active. We're being changed by having one set of properties to a whole nother, and the object is being like Jesus. And secondly, ever-increasing glory. What that means is every day we grow, we get better, we become more like Jesus because of, at the end, this is from the Lord who is the Spirit, with God's help. Little bit by little bit, every day with God's help, changing to become more like Jesus from where God has met us. I want you to hear something very clearly today. Regardless of wherever you're at in your faith journey, you could be questioning faith, you could be fully engaged, everywhere in between. God loves you this morning just the way you are, period. Let that sink in, because that's how deep God's love for you is, and that's how big his grace is. But it gets even better, because God will not leave you that way, exclamation point. Because what will happen, if you trust in God, if you trust in Jesus, he will take you on a beautiful, lifelong journey of change that will cause you to flourish in the most desirable way possible. That's really true. You will be transformed actively to become more like Jesus, and you will become every day the you that God created you to be. So how does this happen in our lives? Simply put, it's a combination between a few different things. First of all, it's God, most important. God is responsible for our spiritual growth. We don't do this on our own. In other words, we can't grow by just trying harder. God is the one who initiates it. But secondly, we have a responsibility to take. Jude 20 and 21 speaks to that when it says there in the scriptures, "But you, beloved, keep yourselves in your most holy faith in Jesus Christ." And that's why we get the mantra, take a next step to grow in our faith, because that's being faithful, one step after the other. We were talking to a room of leaders about this about a month and a half ago, and I got an email from one of those leaders a couple days later, and it was really telling of what can happen when one takes on the responsibility. She says, "I truly understood a clear path to growing in my faith when I was challenged to actively own my spiritual growth." I immediately started to be more intentional about my decisions and engagement in my faith. What changed? She began to discipline herself a little more differently, intentionally, to be open to the work that God had for her. And it was a season of exponential growth. It's God, it's us taking responsibility, and it's us working that out in the body of Christ, the church. That's God's intention for us. God, us taking responsibility in the church. That's the context. So our responsibility as the leadership of this church called Westwood is to identify a pathway with environments and resources that we can replicate across our campuses at this current junction of our history. That's our aim and that's our goal. And pour every bit of our energy into those environments so that all of us can engage and become more like Jesus and make a maximum impact in the world around us. It's a future that God is leading us into, both as individuals and a whole faith community. This pathway is for you. It's for your individual life and your journey. We are called to be disciples who make disciples. And as we do, we'll expand the kingdom. We have a mantra that we're kind of centering around that we picked up along the way as we're pursuing this vision. And that is this: God never called us necessarily to plant churches. He called us first to make disciples. Because when we're disciples making disciples, churches naturally follow right behind. That's what happens. And this pathway will give you direction of how to invest your energies in your life as you interact with Westwood as the church in order to grow and to make maximum impact on the world around you. Secondly, this is an organizational pathway for us. It's orienting us as a church, and this is important just for our communal life to understand. 30 years ago, the church in North America was defined by having a menu of a long list of options for all of us that fit whatever flavor we were looking for. And that strategy worked. But between then and now, a lot has changed in our life. People are going to church less. Our lives are more full. And so what we need to do as a result is pick those few environments that we can invest the best of our energy into for the maximum impact for life change and world change. And that's what we're about. In other words, we're moving from a menu to a map for you. And this is our map. We've been working on it for the last few years, and we've arrived, and we have an internal model that we're describing publicly and inviting you into through four key words. They are high-impact verbs which create action for us that will result in our transformation, metamorphosis. And they will also result in you and us together as a body making maximum impact on the world around us. So what I want to do is invite you into them today as an introduction, and also ask you, as you're listening, to prayerfully consider what would be one next step that you can take to grow in your faith as a result of what you hear. I want to ask that you take your program, wherever you're seated and engaging with this, and just open it up in your lap, wherever you are, because inside are not only the words, some of the graphics we're using, but most importantly, the next steps that are populating each of these words. And then there's a mugshot or a portrait of one of our pastors here. So that I didn't think it was that funny. Thank you for laughing with me. That was nice. The first word is worship. Here's what we mean by worship. God calls us to live the entirety of our lives as an act of worship unto him. That means in our homes, living rooms, dining tables, in our neighborhoods, our schools, our sports teams, and our kids' activities. We worship through our work, what we do with the majority of our waking hours, whatever that may be, whether that's in an office, a school, homes, nurturing our kids full times, whether we're working with our hands or with a spreadsheet. That's an act of worship unto God, 7 days a week, all of life. Paul writes about that in Romans 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. There's that metamorphosis thing again. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, his pleasing, and his perfect will. All of life is worship, but in God's vision for the church, our worship gatherings like this that we're engaged in right now, that's fuel for our journey. In other words, we worship when we gather, and we worship when we go out these doors in a few moments and we scatter into all the world. Gathering for worship is fuel for that journey. We express our worship through music and uniting of our voices. We pray. We open up the scriptures and hear teaching. We receive the bread and the cup. We're fueled, and then God does powerful things in our midst, and we hear it sometimes. You know, that service was just for me. I needed that today. Or someone might say, that song, for whatever reason, just brought me to tears and I could not contain it. Or that message hit me right between the eyes. What does that ultimately point to? God is doing powerful things when we gather. It's no wonder why the author of Hebrews says, let us never give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. And so to take a next step to grow our faith in worship means simply to continue to come on a regular basis to our worship gatherings and sit on the edge of your seat with anticipation for what God may have for you. Because again, God meets you in your life in the as is, not as you should be, so that he can take you from where you are into the place where he is guiding us into flourishing. That happens here. It's powerful. Another step that you can take to grow in your faith is by engaging the Bible. Research projects have shown across multiple different disciplines that perhaps the number one thing that a follower of Jesus can do to grow in their faith is to regularly engage and apply God's word. There's nothing else that's quite at the parallel level. And many of us don't necessarily know where to start. And so every week, conducive to the sermon that we hear from this platform, we've created a weekly Bible reading plan for you to engage in wherever that may take you. It's in our program, it's in our Westwood app, it's online, and we invite you to take that next step to grow in your faith. The first word is worship, and the second word is belong. Now, belong, in its essence, means that a core desire of our heart is met, that we know and are known, that we love and are loved by God and by people who are next to us and living nearby us. That's at the core of our being. You know, we are alive in some amazing times, aren't we? It could be argued that we across the entire globe are the most interconnected group of people that have ever walked this planet, because I can know in an instant what's not only going on in every corner of the world, but I can know in an instant what is going on in my friends' lives without ever having to talk to them, right? But the danger of this reality is a superficiality that points to us to say you're known, but in reality, the only way to know and be known, to love and be loved, is to be 3 feet from another person. And that's what we're called to pursue more and more every single day. I believe that the church is God's mechanism for us to find this true sense of belonging, because here we meet with God and experience his love and encounter his love through each other. John 15:12, Jesus said to his disciples, my command is this, that you love each other as I have loved you. The result of that, yes, is belonging, but it also points to the world watching that does not know Jesus. We prove that he is God through the way that we love each other. The greatest strategy for belonging that we know is groups. And at Westwood, there's hundreds of groups which meet in coffee shops and homes, restaurants, and here at church. They're filled with all different life stages, interests, ages, because when Jesus said, where two or three gather in my name, there I am among them. He meets us in those places. I heard a story of one of my friends here. A few years ago, he and his wife heard the invitation to become a part of a small group, and they said yes to that invitation. What else was going on in his life at that point is he had been diagnosed with a medical condition that was incredibly difficult. It was making it hard for him to even get out of bed in the morning. And not a few days before the first small group meeting would happen, his dad passed away unexpectedly. And he says it like this, I showed up, I bled, and I said, this is me. Friends, every one of us needs a place where we can come and interact with other people and we say, this is me. Because what happens is that there is a this is us dynamic that's irreplaceable, and we pursue Jesus together. So I want to invite you, if you're not in a group yet, to get into a group. Next month in April, we have 2 Group Connect events happening. You can find that information in your program. We pair you up with some people that we think would be a great mix for you and to start a group. Another option that we have for you in terms of belonging is taking just the first step here at Westwood, or maybe a first step of restarting at Westwood, and it's a new 4-week gathering that we're calling Life Transformed, Metamorphosis, Life Transformed, Learning to Live Like Jesus. And the two purposes of this gathering are first to jumpstart your spiritual growth wherever you may be at, and then second, to help connect you to Westwood. Plain and simple, those two things over those 4 weeks. A majority of people have gotten connected through the life transformed experience that have gone through it, and we invite you to take that maybe as a first step here in our faith community. For groups in life transformed, if you want to hear more about it, you can stop at our info spot in all of our campuses and all of our venues, and our leaders would love to share with you about that. Tuesday nights in April, we're fully launching this into our faith community. And Pastor Zach Bush, our new campus pastor, Pastor Mark Nelson from Minnetonka, and myself, we're going to team teach it together. So it's going to be really fun, and we invite you to come as we launch it completely to our faith community. Dinner and childcare are provided. First is worship, second is belong, third is serve. Every single one of us has been gifted by God to make a difference eternally with our time and our talent and our resources. There's nothing like being used by God to make an impact. Nothing. 1 Peter 4:10 echoes that to say, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. It's putting our head and our hands and our heart into action, both through the church, but then also really throughout the world to serve other people for their benefit. Our strategy here for serving is teams. We have countless teams that are serving in many ways, perhaps that you see even on Sundays, Wednesday nights with our students, near in our outreach strategies, and then far really across the globe. And there's a lot of opportunities for you to engage every single week here. And if you're interested in getting into a team, again, our friends at our info spot would love to help you and get you connected even today, or you can go online and take a little bit of a survey to address where you might be best fit for serving. Also, the other opportunity that we have into April is going through an experience that we call Life Keys, which will introduce you perhaps maybe for the first time to how God has gifted you and where you can serve in order to make maximum impact. That's also in the program today. Now it's worship, it's belong, it's serve, and then the last word, go. Our impact will be based on our sending capacity of how we go out into this world, how we replicate campuses and expand God's kingdom as we're able to at Westwood. God speaks to his people throughout the Bible. And when he uses the word go, there are too many instances to mention here, but there are two that are pronounced. And the first one is in Genesis 12, where he says to Abraham and calls him, go, I will make you a great nation. I'm going to bless you so that you're a blessing to all people. Abraham goes. And then Matthew 28, Jesus echoes that. And he says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. This is you joining in on God's mission where you already are. I want to emphasize one thing amongst many and just give a little parenthetical statement to say you're going to be hearing these words a lot, and there's going to be a lot more things that we introduce over the next few years. But right in front of you, follower of Jesus, is a person that God has positioned you to introduce to him and his love. That's sharing the gospel. That's sharing your faith. We want to raise the risk by walking across the room and sharing our faith. And the great part about that, should that meet you with some level of intimidation, because it does me, we have a great strategy, a great practice of lifestyle that you can live in order to help people to be introduced to Jesus who are in your life right now. So who is that person right in front of you? Prayerfully consider that as a result of what you've heard today. We have that equipping tool online. It's a set of videos that Pastor Zach Bush and I have taught, and it's called the Bless Practice. B means to begin with prayer, L means to listen, E means to eat together, S means to serve, and then the last S means to share your story. Going through that will help equip you maybe one more step towards an understanding of what it means to share your faith in Jesus Christ with other people. And there'll be a lot more in regard to going that you'll hear a lot about. It's worship, it's belong, it's serve, and it's go. And we're all in it together. As an apprentice of Jesus, I am called to learn from Jesus how to lead my life as Jesus would lead my life if he were me. That's the whole of our life. God grows us. We take responsibility to receive his growth in our life, and we lean in with others in and through the church. And one of the outcomes One of the outcomes is a generosity that we can't help but share. We live with open hands receiving from God all that he wants to give to us, believing that he wants to give us a lot. And we live with open hands giving away because we believe in our core that we cannot outgive this generous God that manifests itself through the giving of our time, our talents, and our resources. And so I want to invite Pastor Joel up to share another invitation of an expression of discipleship and generosity that he has to share. Would you welcome Pastor Joel back up with me?
I love our team. Hey, Brian, thanks for leading and teaching so well. I'm excited about the future and the discipleship pathway and the simplicity, really, of discipleship is taking the next step to grow your faith. I know for me, it's as simple as that. When just who I was, got met by somebody who was patient with me. I got invited at 18 years of age to a home with a girl that I really liked a lot, and she was a good friend. She said, come to my house for dinner. I said, okay, I'll come, and went there and was greeted by her brothers at the door and her mom and dad, and we sat around the dinner table. I'll never forget it. This was so life-changing for me. Growing up in a broken home, to sit around a table with a mom and a dad and siblings all together. Many of you have been blessed with that, but if you've not been, you know what that's like. And I sat around this table, and as I was strategically placed between the brothers at this beautiful table, and the dad took out a Bible before we ate and opened and read from the scriptures. I'd never seen that before. And then he invited us to join hands and pray. Yes, I joined the hands of a brother. So, and he prayed, and man, I was moved in that given moment. And I can remember my thought was, this is family. And that family would help me understand what it means to take the hand off the steering wheel of your life and invite Jesus to be the Lord of your life. That family had Jesus at the center of their everyday journey. They believed in the power of the Word of God, and they really taught me to enter into the world of what it means to belong. They made me feel like I belonged, even though I was a long ways from where they were spiritually. And I took that next step, and I understood that I'm blessed to be a blessing. And since then, I've grown up a lot in faith, and I've come to understand that everything that I am and everything that I have is of God, and I give him thanks. So we live with open hands to that end. Before we go, I want to give an invitation because time, talent, and treasure is part of what we give in order to see this vision come to fruition. I want to walk you through the ladder of generosity, or what I call the ladder of joy. I did it in 2015, exactly 3 years ago. And at the end of this, I want to share the results of what happened then. I want to give this invitation again because it really made a difference. Minnetonka got started last time with this gift, and other things happened. And I want to walk through what this is, because this is what I'm inviting you into, is to take up a next step in generosity using this analogy of a ladder with each rung standing for one element of where we give. I want to encourage you to say, what rung are you on? And would you consider praying and giving yourself to the reality of the next step? And so the first-time giver is the giver who's never given before. And there may be reasons why. You've never been taught, you didn't know it's that important or whatever, but I call it a ladder of joy because when you enter into this, joy happens to you. It comes. There's an incredible lift that happens. It's like a little baby who begins to finally walk, and the joy of that discovery is the same, which can I just say, last night, I had my granddaughters by myself, two of them, for the first time in my history. And I did really good. I was so proud of myself. I was relieved also, but it really went well. But one of them is walking, and just to walk, see the joy of her steps. And I go, that's what happens in our spiritual journey. There's a joy in our steps. And Carrie moved me in this direction. Carrie was the first one to teach me about generosity. We were just dating at the time, and she was short of cash, and I had a little bit of extra, so I gave her $20 that she could put gas in her car. And we went to church that Sunday, and when the offering plate came by, she put a $20 bill in the offering plate, but she didn't have $20. It was my $20 bill. Let me just say, it created conversation for us, and she began that journey of teaching me generosity of using other people's money, I guess. First time. You know, we have a bold vision, but I got to tell you, it's God's vision. We're just going where God asked us to go, and I believe God will bless it and bless you and bless us as a church with eternal goodness step into the first rung if you've never given before. The second rung is simply the occasional giver, and this may be you, where you give situationally at Christmas time or Easter time or when there's a crisis in the world and we give you opportunity to give, and it counts, it really helps, it really matters, and it's a good place to be able to give situationally and occasionally, but I don't think it's God's primary vision. He, in fact, I know this to be true from the biblical teaching, is God wants us to be intentional givers, where we're giving consistently and generously, that we're disciplined, because then we know there's always a spirit of gratitude. We're reminding ourselves every time we give that what I have came from God, and I get to say thank you for that. And with today's digital age, so much of our giving is happening online. We encourage you to do that. Carrie and I give our core base giving through online giving here at Westwood, but then we give above and beyond here and other places as well. And some of you are on this next rung of tithing. And in the Hebrew scriptures, in the Old Testament, it's the 10% rule that you give the first 10% of your earnings back to the Lord in a spirit of gratitude. And people have said to me many times, Joel, that's an Old Testament concept. Why do you keep talking about tithing? Well, I said, well, okay, if you want to give 12%, that's fine too, because the New Testament teaches proportionate giving. So give as you've been given to. Which means we have been given the love of God revealed through Jesus Christ. Is there a generosity that's bigger than that? That while we were still sinners, he died for us? No, he opens the gate. I don't think he intends for us to think less. I think he wants us to realize everything comes from him. And then that top rung is about extraordinary giving. And it's going above and beyond, which may happen because God just gave you a lot of resources. Which, by the way, he gave that to you. And if you're among that group that has extraordinary resources, you can give extraordinarily. To whom much is given, much is required. But for some of you, you don't have a lot of resources and you still give in extraordinary ways because you've learned the joy and the discipline of offering what God has given you to the Lord. And it matters. And as we look at the 10-year vision, I want to give a bold invitation to you today. Where do these resources go to that we're inviting you to give to? Well, if you could take out the insert that says Step Up and Beyond, and then on the backside it says Quick Start Projects and Initiatives. I'm going to start on the first side of it. It says Step Up and Beyond. And it's this category of giving, and I'm not going to read it all. You can read it on your own, but let me give you the high brush mark of it. It represents the first four rungs, that if you define where you are and you take a next step up, that kind of giving would allow everything on this page to take place, which would include the staffing of the 10-year vision for a couple of years with new staff that would come in as we add new churches and multi-sites. It would also allow for the training center to be established for the 100 pastors that will be trained to launch churches to the immigrant community. It would allow the resourcing of the 1,000 church planters that are in the far reaches of the world. That's through the step-up category. The first four rungs that would cover it. If you turn to the other side, there's the next 10 quick start projects and initiatives. This is an invitation to give a one-time gift that allows the ball to move down the field pretty quickly on some needs that are urgent needs for us. In the right-hand corner, you can see a priority focus with kids and student ministries, both in Minnetonka and here at Chanhassen. We need to retrofit and upgrade our children's and student ministries. We need to raise the security provision of those spaces. It's a different day for us, and we just want to really pay attention to that. But also, we want to have that opportunity with spaces to express our unique identity by creating a sense of home in all of our sites. So there's continuity from Chanhassen to Minnetonka to the new sites, wherever they might be. And there's an image of a schematic of what that could look like. By next week, we'll have all of the schematics available for you to look at. The second element of this quick start project is the leadership development. It's preparing the next generation of leaders. Last week, I interviewed our interns. You could tell they're really dynamic if you were here. That was really fun to be able to interview them, for you to get to see their life, their leadership, what they're doing. We'd love to double the number of interns to prepare the next generation of leaders to help us see the 10-year vision fulfilled. The third is the multi-site vision. We put here the Bush Lake campus facility. We need a space, and by faith, we're wanting to claim that. Just give you some historical perspective. We knew we wanted to start in the fall of 2008 our next multi-site. We began the search for property because it's not an easy thing to find. You're looking at churches that are closing down, warehouses that are available, commercial sites that might be available. We found a site last spring. We were so certain it was it. We worked on it all summer. We had tours of it. We thought this is it. And in August, the door closed on that property. And you learn something about trusting God as a disciple, a follower. Sometimes he opens the doors and sometimes he closes. And you have to recalibrate either one, open or close. We had to recalibrate. We found another property which was even better. We thought, oh, this is what God had in mind for us. We pursued it by faith, and the doors closed on that in November. And did I say sometimes the door, God opens the doors and sometimes he closes the doors? We were back there, and you go, wow, we're only now months away from that start. Where will we be? A facility, to our surprise, became available in December, right before Christmas, and we've been pursuing that facility. It's a beautiful facility. It's on East Bush Lake Road and 494. Thousands, tens of thousands of cars drive by it all the time. Here's a picture of it. It's just incredible, this piece of property. But there are two other business owners, because it's a commercial site, that are interested in it, and they've been pursuing it too. And the difference between they and us is they have money and we don't. So it's kind of a, you know, demarcation, I guess. And so we had our opportunity to make our case and present before the owners of this property this past Wednesday at 9 a.m. I've been transparent and vulnerable. The first two I wasn't with you because I didn't know where they would go. This time I still didn't know, but I decided to let you know over the last month that this is a possibility, and I've asked you to pray. We had a couple hundred people praying at 9 a.m. this last week that God would somehow, now in this case, miraculously open that door. The presentation was made. We got neither a yes or a no after that, which made us concerned. I just wanted to give you the update of where we are in it and ask you to continue to pray. Later that afternoon, we did get a response, though, and I need to tell you, we got it. We got it. It is a God thing. Well, not quite yet, because we don't have the resources, and they have moved the date up in terms of when that would be available. On the backside of your program, you could see, by faith, we put this in the program, that on May 20th, we'd have a special business meeting, because it takes the vote of the church to be able to move into a property like this, and that date's way too late for their comfort zone, so it's moved up to May 6th. And that means we need to respond in a pretty short window to this generosity initiative. The other two things talk about what could take place if the financial giving was strong enough. I want to give a bold invite, but not without first saying that I'm really humbled. I mean that sincerely. I'm really humbled by your generosity. Thank you for always being there. It's been 22 years, and you show up every time, in different ways, at different times, and I just thank you for that. And I thank you for just being willing and available to consider how God might want to move you in seeing this 10-year vision fulfilled. And I'm going to tell you what the financial goal is. It's $7 million. We don't need the $7 million all right now, but we need a good solid four of it to be able to do the immediate things here in Chan and Minnetonka, as well as with this facility and other things that we have committed to. But it would allow us to be able, if $7 million came in, to not have to come back every year, but to trust God and have fluidity in decision-making related to the other multi-sites or church plants that are before us. So my invitation is really simple. Would you take a step up the ladder, define where you are right now, and go before God and pray about, Lord, help me know how to make a step up. That would be huge in and of itself. And then secondly, would you consider an extraordinary gift that could be given to allow those quick start projects to happen in short order? And I know that some of you have been blessed with great capacity to be able to do some of that extraordinary giving. And if that be you and you'd like to learn more about how you might want to give, you are welcome to come to a breakfast we're going to host this Saturday, because the window is short, at Hazeltine at 9 a.m. for a breakfast and an opportunity to learn more. And you're welcome to come if you'd like to give at whatever level for the extraordinary giving. The details to RSVP are in the back of the program, and you certainly can do that. I need to wrap up our time here a little bit, but can I just tell you, we can do this by faith, because God has blessed us with resources if we loosen them up. When we did the ladder 3 years ago, the impact was amazing. Not only did Minnetonka get launched, not only did the intern ministry get launched, the Hope House got used to homeless sheltering teenagers, and a clinic got established for refugees in Jordan because of your generosity. There were over 600 new first-time givers in that last Take a Next Step Up, 600. The effect of those 600 plus the others who took a step up increased our giving capacity 33%, $3.2 million. It just tells you the capacity is here if we believe that this is God's vision, and I pray that you do. I do. I'll give my life for the life of others as Jesus gave his life for me, and I invite you to join us as we consider where God will take us these next 10 years. I'm going to invite you to stand, and as you do, to join me in reciting the words of the first Kaboom movement, or at least how the first Kaboom movement happened with the first followers of Christ, because it's recorded for us in the book of Acts. Join me. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. The generosity of the first Christ followers would change the world to the end that we would come and know that we're blessed to be a blessing. Pray with me. Father God, thank you for the generosity of Jesus that has come to us and changed everything about how we see the world and live our lives. Might we abide in you and be fruitful as you envision for us. Might we be humbly aware that we are a blessed people, not just for our own good or gain, but always for your gain and your glory, to be a blessing even to others, to the families of the earth, that they would know your name, experience your goodness and your healing presence. We honor and worship your Son, our Savior, Jesus.